Brian Zepp here with The Ticket Outdoors. Back in early November, we had Brandon Johnson in studio to tell his incredible story of being attacked by a 525-pound black bear while on a hunt in Pine County, Minnesota. Tonight, we're going to replay that interview with Brandon and his friends Trevor Nowak and Craig Lindstrom. Thanks for listening. Everybody's heard about the young man that was attacked by that big old 525-pound black bear earlier this bow season, and he's our guest tonight, and we're going to roll with Brandon. We've also got Trevor in with him. We've got the ladies in. I don't remember everybody's
Craig
name.
Craig as well.
Have to go through everybody here as we get to know him. But Brandon Johnson, welcome to Ticket Outdoors. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And when I say how are you, you know, that's kind of a passing thing that you just generally to say to a bunch of folks and kind of throw it away. But I'm kind of being serious. I'm looking at a young guy here that's bandaged from fingertips on back. I can see some just gnarly scars on this forearm here. The other one's bandaged almost all the way back to his armpit. And you're still feeling it. How long has it been since the attack? I remember the day I read the story. It was like the next day. But how long has it been?
Since the 27th of September.
So yep. Let's go back to, I'm trying to think of where's a good place to start telling the story here. You guys, how long had you been out on the bow hunt in this particular area? A couple of days? Was it your first day in the area?
Well, this was Friday night, and it was probably two-thirds of the way into the bear season, and we were having a lot of success just having fun. You know, just having fun is the success. But this night was special. My fiance Tracy shot a bear, and we went back to the cabin. Everyone always goes back to meet up after dark so that you can get a game plan and get together and go out and track the bear after a certain amount of time has went by.
Right, exactly, because we're talking about bow hunting here. So yep. When you end up sticking a bear, like anything else, you're going to give it some time to, you know, go lay down and die somewhere.
Yeah, right. And then we got there, and we were at the cabin hanging out, and Trevor pulls in, and he had also shot one. So I knew that it was going to be a long night with two bear, and there was only two couples up there at the time. I wasn't sure that Craig was going to be there. So with two guys and two girls, we knew it was going to be a long night.
Yeah, two bear out there. It's dusk. The sun's starting to set. Let's introduce Trevor over here. Trevor, what's your last name, man?
Nowak.
Trevor Nowak, and you guys, I'm guess, hunted before together. You talked about your fiance. I'm sorry, her name was?
Tracy Hoffman.
Tracy Hoffman, yeah, I didn't get her last name. And this young gal over here?
Alex.
Alex, you were out on the hunt as well?
Yeah, with Trevor.
Out there with Trevor. Okay, so you got a couple of bear out there that you've stuck. You know they're out there somewhere, and proceed,
what,
yeah.
What happened is we weren't positive. I like to give it as much time as possible, and we weren't sure. I mean, you're never sure unless you hear, when you're bear hunting, if you hear the death moan, you can basically get down and go right up to them.
Right.
It's a crazy noise, and if you've bear hunted, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we weren't sure. Trevor was a little bit skeptical, which doesn't mean it wasn't a perfect shot. Sometimes you second guess yourself, and you go, did I hit it perfect? The arrows, we brought back in, and we studied the arrows, and the arrows looked perfect. I could not have described, the arrows were bright red, no guts, nothing on them. So we just decided, all right, well, if we ever have a question, we're going to give it as much time as possible.
Right.
But it was 82 degrees.
Yeah, we've had this particularly warm fall that we've had, yeah.
Right. And bear hunting.
In September, we were hitting 80s, yeah.
Yeah, bear hunting is not like anything else. A bear is so insulated, you risk every hour losing the animal.
Right.
But we agreed on, we wanted 4 hours.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We wanted 4 hours so that we would feel really comfortable knowing that that bear is not very far. It's going to be laying there dead. That's just...
No, good finish.
No, that's fine.
Well, I was going to say, Trevor, did you see this bear before in a trail camera, or have you...
Yeah, we had many pictures of this bear.
So you knew this one was out there. All right.
Yep.
All right.
So you knew which bear you had stuck. I mean, you knew which bear you'd hit. That was probably that big.
There was two bear there that were about the same size,
and right.
So I knew it was one of the two.
And when you say you don't have a lot of time with it, you're not specifically talking about that bear getting away and maybe not finding it, but also the meat.
Yeah.
Because it's so warm out, they're so insulated. By the time you find it later on the next morning, you might have lost the entire harvest.
The hide's wrecked, the meat's wrecked. It's
right.
I mean, it's just like putting meat in a cooler. If there's no ice in the cooler, the thing is wrecked.
So it's getting dark, and you guys have one stuck. You got the arrow back, and you're thinking, do we head on out and start looking for this boar now? And you've got two bear out there.
Yep. So we kind of came up with the game plan of the 4 hours, and we decided to go after Trevor's first because his is a closer bait to the cabin. And we had dinner. I mean, we made dinner and hung out and listened to the radio, and we got a text from Craig Lindstrom that he was on his way, and we thought, oh, great, one more guy in the woods is always a pleasant thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you bet.
Uh-huh.
You know, manpower is, it's not only comforting, it actually has got a lot to be said for it.
Yeah.
Well, he got there, and I think because of his new energy of getting there and adding excitement to everyone.
Let's go get him, boys.
It was a little bit quicker than we had anticipated right out of the gate. Not by much, but it was just a little bit quicker, and we headed out. Everyone threw their flashlights on, and Craig strapped on his pistol on his side. And, you know, I felt, well, we got it. We got it everything we normally would do. You know, we got everything figured out. And we got to the bait, and sure enough, Trevor showed there was blood right at the bait, which a lot of times on a perfect shot, there's no blood at the bait. And there was blood at the bait, and we started tracking it, but it wasn't nearly the blood that you want to see on a, you know, on a perfect shot. There's usually quite a bit of blood, and this was
a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Is it standard procedure to go tracking at night like that? Or other than what happened, what are the concerns? Do you always track at night?
We always have, yes.
Okay, cool.
I mean, we've never had one bad instance till this one, and I know it only takes one to wreck somebody, but this was the first time out of all of this.
Well, you had a reason to be confident. Like you said, you've harvested a lot of bears over the years, and you've been out on these night stalks trying to find the bear, and I've never had a problem.
And they check the arrow, and typically when you have that bright red blood when you're hunting big game and you don't see signs of the guts or the stomach, you're thinking, all right, I had a clean shot, right?
I'm not seeing a lot of blood, so I'm thinking this sucker's probably run for a while, and he's got some distance on us.
Well, we had only put in 40, 50 yards, and there's a creek/river beaver slide behind the bait. And right away I said, I don't think a really wounded bear is going to cross it. So Craig kind of looked to the left, and I headed to the right, and Trevor started crossing, and it like basically went up to his chest, and I was like, geez, you know, that's pretty deep water there. And I'm like, I don't think the bear would go across that if it's hurt. And Trevor got to the other side, and he goes, I got blood. So right away, I was like, oh, doggone it. You know,
it's like you're crossing.
Well, it wasn't that. Right away in my heart, I kind of thought maybe at this point anyway, the bear wasn't as hurt.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying it wasn't mortally hurt, but I was like, I would think that it would kind of skirt the swamp, but it went right across that deep water. And we got across, and we tracked it for probably, and we got to that water, and Craig Lindstrom has.
How much light did you have out here? I don't know what the moon phase was. Could you kind of see around? So you're just seeing right what's in front of your light, is it?
I have a headlamp on and a big flashlight in my left hand. I'm not sure what these guys had on for flashlights, but there was no spotlights, just your regular flashlight.
I didn't know if we had a better moon that night. You could if you could see 30 or 40 yards around you, that kind of thing. But no, you're just seeing what's in your lap.
This is one of the darker nights I've ever remembered.
Of course.
Wow. And Craig said, I can't cross the creek. And he could, but it's not comfortable. He has two bad hips. He needs hip replacement. We know that.
Yeah.
Because years of tracking, Craig, he's always come out and he's had major problems for days after we've tracked bear.
Yeah.
And so he stayed at the other side, and I never thought anything of it. I mean, I'm used to, we drop people off, so if you don't get lost, you can yell, and that guy hears you, and the guy behind him hears him, and everything was fine. And we went a ways, and me and Trevor were starting to run a little bit low on the blood, and we stopped, and I...
How far away were you from the creek at this point?
50 yards.
All right, so you're only about 50 yards on the other side of the creek.
Yep, 90 to 100 yards from the bait.
And you're losing your track a little bit.
Yep, and all of a sudden Trevor says, I hear it. And from doing construction all these years, my left ear doesn't hear the best, and I did not hear it. And usually in the woods, I hear it. And I did not hear anything, didn't hear anything, and Trevor kept saying, I hear it, I hear it, I hear it. And he was like pointing in a direction, and then I picked it up. I heard a stick snap. And I go, well, I don't have a knife. I don't have a gun or anything on me. This thing's right there. And
some people listening might wonder why you didn't take a firearm or something out with you, but you can't.
Well, Craig had a firearm, right, Craig?
Yes.
Oh, Craig did have a firearm. Are you allowed to track with a firearm in Minnesota? Yeah, in South Dakota, you can't. Yeah, not at night, exactly, after dark. So you guys didn't say, okay, we're going to go track and throw a rifle over your shoulder. No. It's bow season, and, yeah, you just went out there, and you've got a little knife that you brought in here tonight with probably about, a six-inch blade? Yeah, five, six-inch blade, yeah.
Well, I didn't have a knife. Trevor did, and I said, Trevor, I don't have a knife. You got one? And he handed me his knife, and right away, I don't know why, I kept practicing with it, and I go, man, this thing is going to slide through my hand. I think it's going to cut my hand, and I put my thumb on the back of it, and I've never done this before. I literally stood there for a minute and a half practicing with this knife, which I've never done before. I don't even know why I was doing it. I said, I think I can do it. I think I could make it work if I had to.
Make what work?
The knife protect me.
Kill the bear with a knife? Wow. I'm just sitting here thinking, if I'm standing, a couple of hundred yards out in the woods here and I've got a crick at my back that's about chest deep and I've got a wounded bear out here, if I'm not sitting there practicing with the knife, I'm getting the willies.
Well, and especially, Brandon, when you talk about you couldn't hear it because of the years of construction and right. Trevor, you're calling it out, and then Brandon, you said you heard a pop of a tree branch, yep. Or what?
Right about that time, Zepp never would have gotten wet. He would have run across that water back toward the cabin.
I'm worried about Craig. I'd have been on the other side of the water with him. Watch it. Guys, this is a great place to take a break. We're talking with Brandon Johnson. We've got his friends in here, Craig Lindstrom. And Trevor, what is your last name again?
Nowak.
For some reason, I'm not remembering that. Trevor Nowak and the ladies are in here. Everybody was on the scene when Brandon was attacked by this bear. We're going to come back with more, with the rest of Brandon Johnson's story on 105 The Ticket. It's Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back to the best of The Ticket Outdoors as we replay Brandon Johnson's bear attack interview. Brandon, so where we last left you off, you guys had a couple of bears out there. Trevor had stuck one and took for a run. Craig shows up and you decide that you're going to go on a night stalk and try and get these bears. It's about 82 degrees that afternoon for a high, and you don't want to let them sit for the night. So you've gone out, you've crossed a creek that's about chest deep. You're about 50 or 60 yards past it, and Trevor has given you his knife. I've seen the knife. It's not an impressive knife if you're out there with a bear. It's just barely a hunting knife, for crying out loud. And you talked about being able to stab with it. That was one of the first things I noticed when Craig showed it to me. It's in a photograph with the bear, and it's encased in a frame. And there's practically no, what do they call that thing that, around the...
The sheath?
You're talking about the gut hook on the...
Yeah, the gut hook. It doesn't really have one.
No.
Yeah, so, but you're thinking about putting your thumb on it. You're sitting out there. Now you've heard the bear. You're practicing with the knife, which blows me away.
Yeah.
And let's jump back into it. Our guest, Brandon Johnson.
Oh, one thing, I don't like the term that Trevor stuck it. He shot the bear.
Shot the bear. Gotcha.
Stuck it sounds like a terrible shot that's not going to be found. And we thought he made a good shot, which, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Well, we heard the stick snap, and the whole time I was marking the trail with marking tape. And at that point, when I got the knife from Trevor, I handed him the marking tape. Just so we wouldn't get lost, it's easier to find. Not that we'd get lost, but people, Tracy and Alex were up in the stands, so they're within, they can hear everything being said and done.
Yeah, because you're probably only about 100 yards away from the stands at this point.
Yep, that's about perfect. And so we started towards it, and we heard it take off like a freight train, and you literally could hear it going sounded like a minute, 2 minutes of breaking trees down. It sounded like taking out full-size popple trees. It was just loud. And it sounded like it had made a loop, and it was heading right back towards the bait, which Craig was standing on the other side of the creek, and Trevor's like yelling, it's coming towards you, Craig. It's coming towards you. And in the woods, I didn't know if Craig could hear that it was coming towards her, if he just heard yelling, because, you can't tell what they're saying. And then he yelled back something. And at that point, I didn't know what Craig was yelling. So And everyone says, well, then why did you guys proceed to go after it? Well, we still hadn't found more blood. And once you've jumped an animal, the chance of finding blood again is almost non-existent. So we tried to follow the bear to a point we could pick up the blood trail again so we could mark it and then come back in the morning.
So you hear the bear circling around and crashing through, and you just want to get back on its path again so you can get back on the blood trail.
Yes, we can mark it and get out of there. Well, we're not finding nothing, and we can still hear the bear ahead of us. So we know it sounds stupid, but we know we're safe because we know where the bear is.
Yeah.
And it's not a mystery. We hear this loud crashing noise. All right, it's ahead of us. It's ahead of us. So we're running, 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 running. And all of a sudden we get to a spot where it's just dead silence. And me and Trevor are looking at each other. We're standing there. Do you know where it is? No, I don't know where it is. Have you heard anything? No. And I heard a stick snap. And I said, did you hear that? I said, it's to the left. And from what I remember, Trevor said no, but he thought maybe it was to the right. And I took three steps to my left, and I was looking at the stars. All I could see was the stars in the sky. And I don't know if I only took three steps from Trevor. I don't know if I went hundreds of yards. We've never really even got together and discussed any of these facts since. And all I could see was the stars, and I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was having a dream. And I looked, and like 12 inches from my face is the biggest black bear's head I've ever seen. And it was slowly coming down at me. It was like the most slow motion thing I've ever seen. It was coming down and opening its mouth, coming down, opening its mouth. And I was like, the movie was on slow motion. And I put my hands up and I put them on both sides of its mouth. And I thought this was a dream. So I wasn't worried about it or nothing. And it just kept coming down and coming down. And all of a sudden I felt a tooth going in underneath my jaw, and I just, out of reflex, I don't even know how or why, because I'm not used to carrying a knife, my right arm came up and I just stabbed it, and it pulled its head up and it roared, and its mouth was open, wide open, and it's standing on my chest, and I'm pinned to the ground, and I could just see that this thing was just, I mean, it looked possessed, to use that phrase, but it was just, now that I stabbed it, I don't know if that made it even matter.
Well, it make lunged, any happier.
It lunged, came right for my face, you know, and to start with, when it's standing on my chest, it's only a matter of 12, 14 inches away. I don't even know why. I just stuck my arm in its mouth. And I came off the ground as hard as I could, and I pushed my arm in its mouth, and it sounded like a dog with a chew toy. And I just kept stabbing it and stabbing it with my right arm, and I just wouldn't.
Do you know at this point where you're stabbing? I mean, you're just stabbing it.
Are you just swinging the knife? Yeah.
Well, I'm on the ground, and I'm holding my arm completely across in front of my face because it's pushing towards my face. So my hand is probably 6 inches away from my nose covering my face, and I'm going for it around my hand area. I'm just stabbing
right
over and over and over. I just kept going as fast as I can, and I know I was making noises that I can still hear, and I don't know how to describe the noises I was making, but I'm sure the girls and the guys here can vouch for whatever crazy things they heard.
Just a reminder to everybody, you said you didn't know how far you run, but I'm guessing everybody's still within about 100 yards of you. So you're all hearing this, Trevor, Craig, Tracy, Alex, you guys can all hear this, this struggle going on, this attack happening. Okay, go ahead, Brandon.
Well, after it seemed like forever of it chewing on my arm and me stabbing, I was kind of running out of energy, and I think the bear was too. All of a sudden, it stopped, and it climbed off of me, and I can only see my immediate body. The bear got off of me and walked away, and I just laid there for a few seconds, not saying or making a noise, because I thought the bear was still standing at my feet. And before, just to add a little bit to it, it had knocked the flashlight out of my hand, and it knocked my hat off, which had my headlamp. And it was a pitch black night, but somehow God had put my hat laying next to my head with the headlamp was shining over me, and the only thing I could see anywhere was just my immediate chest and face area with that headlamp. If it would have shined anywhere else, I never even would have seen the bear. Well, as the bear leaves, I start calling out, you know, that the bear got me. I need help. And I was, I'm sure, crying and screaming, doing whatever. And I know that they were answering back to me, but I never heard them. I think my mind, I shut down, and I was just focused on what I could see. And it went for, I mean, it seemed like such a long time. And I felt I was getting more tired and more tired. And the only thing I could see was if I turned my head to the left, I could see the headlamp shining up, and I could see three little popple trees. I found out later that these guys said they weren't popple trees, but all of a sudden I seen light get broken between all three of those trees, and I thought Trevor was there, you know, coming to save me from me Pleading or Craig or somebody, and all of a sudden I looked at my feet and the bear came back and got on top of me again. And this time it went straight for my crotch, and I wouldn't open my legs. I just kept them as tight as I could possibly keep my legs together, and it was getting more and more mad, biting at the inside of my leg. And I honestly think every animal knows where the vitals are in another animal. Mm-hmm. And it gave up on that, and it came up and it stood on my chest again, and I was really afraid this time. I could just tell something was different, and I looked right in its eyes, and it was in the exact same spot, 12, 16 inches away from me, and I saw its eyes go from normal beady black bear eyes where they have a normal pupil in their eye. It rolled its eyes back in its head just like a rabid dog, and all I could see was the whites of its eyes. It opened its mouth, and it just came as fast as it could right for me, and this time I shoved my arm back in its mouth again. Wasn't the same spot as the last time, and it was just doing everything I could with the knife. I was stabbing and going to town as much as I could, and it was getting more and more mad. I think that it wasn't beating me, or I was hurting it and getting it more and more mad. Well, I could tell it was very upset, and it snapped the first bone on the outside of my arm, and then it broke the bone closest to my chest on that arm, and then it like spun my hand around, and so then my hand kind of flopped down, and then I felt instantly that all my energy and everything had like left me. I knew I was still stabbing, but I didn't have much left in my stabs right then. And I was stabbing and stabbing, and this thing was growling and making all kinds of noise with its mouth, and then it stopped, and it did the exact same thing. It got off and walked away. And this time it felt like in my head that I laid there forever, because I was scared that it was coming back because I was yelling for somebody. And I know Trevor was there, and he was there. He would have helped if he could. He was there hearing me, and he was there answering me, but I never heard anybody. And it's the craziest. It was like I was in a tunnel. And then some time went by, and I mean, I knew that I was losing whatever.
Blood, consciousness,
and it
the some, fight.
Yeah, and I knew I didn't have much more in me, but that seemed like enough time had went by that this time it wasn't coming back. And then I saw those three trees, the light break those three trees again, and I went, I don't know why, but I just kind of went, I don't even care if it's the bear this time. I felt like it was going to happen if it was going to happen, and if it wasn't going to happen, it wasn't going to be the bear, and sure enough, it was the bear again. And it came around, and it came up on top, and I held up my left arm as high as I could, but I didn't have much left of that. Didn't look like much. I have my arm, but I held my arm up with my hand and tried to put it in the bear's mouth, and it wouldn't take my arm this time. I think it knew that arm didn't offer it any harm, so it really wouldn't, I couldn't put my hand in its mouth. So it backed up, not body-wise, it reared its head up, and it opened its mouth up as wide as I've ever seen a bear open up its mouth, and I saw, this is my chance, and I shoved my hand with the knife, I tried to get it right down its throat, and I shoved my whole hand in its mouth. And I pulled it out, and I started stabbing it again, and I was stabbing and stabbing, and I think now I was almost with my eyes shut, and I didn't have that much energy left, and I was stabbing, and all of a sudden I felt I was drowning. And I don't know, at that point I thought the bear must have swatted my throat, and I just didn't feel it, because a lot of the things you don't feel when you're going through it. So I thought maybe it had got me, and I was choking, and I couldn't figure out why it was filling my nose and my mouth, and I couldn't see. The blood was in my eyes, and I took my left hand with the knife in it, and I wiped off my right eye just enough that I could see, and I leaned out past my arm that I was still trying to offer it, and I saw, looked like someone had turned a faucet on. Blood was spraying out of the bear's face right into my face.
Yeah.
So right away I was like, well, yeah, I hit something. Maybe this is going to work.
Yeah. So, you knew at that point you got a little lift in spirit.
I did, and I saw it turn its head at my hand with the knife in it, and it instantly, I knew that it knew where the pain was coming from.
Right.
It finally figured it out, and it grabbed my right hand with the knife in it, and it bit it twice and then broke my arm. And then I knew I was, I felt then that that was like the rest of my everything, my chance, everything. I thought, this was it. He's going to die. I'm going to die. That was the end of it. And it's pushed down harder on my chest, and it reared back, and it swatted me with its, it opened up my hands with its paws, and it swatted me across the chest. And then it grabbed onto my right calf. It picked me up, slammed me on the ground, and walked away. And at that moment, I could feel that I was losing consciousness, or I was going, I don't know, I thought I was done, and I started praying to God and made sure everything I had right with Him, and I was yelling, just tell my parents I love them, and my kids, and my fiance, and...
Trevor, where were you at this time? How close were you to Brandon when this was taking place right now?
I was about 30 yards away.
So you were witnessing this, with realizing there's not a damn thing you could do.
Yep. I was my
could,
main
could
goal.
Could you see it?
I actually ran up to it at one point and then backed off.
And keeping in mind that he's got your knife. You gave him your knife. So you've got nothing.
No, I was hopeless.
Guys, we got to take a break here. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to do here with Mike and Chris Keeler, who came in today, and you know, try and get him in here the last little bit. We got to take a break here. We're a long way from done with Brandon Johnson. I keep saying bear attack. Now I just feel like it's a fight between these two.
He was pissed off. I mean, Brandon was pissed.
The courage that I'm hearing in the story is
amazing.
Let's
take a break now. We're coming right back. More Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You're listening to the best of The Ticket Outdoors. Here's more of Brandon Johnson's bear attack interview.
Where we left off was the bear had come back around the third or fourth time now, I don't remember.
It was the third time.
So the bear had come back, and now this time he had... He tried to attack you between the legs. He went for the moneymaker there. It's not the moneymaker, the family maker there. Didn't get that done. You were stabbing him in the face. You thought you were drowning. A lot of blood is pouring off this bear into you, and it takes off again, but now it's just coming back again for the fourth time?
Nope. When that last time that it picked me up by the calf and it slammed my calf and it slammed me on the ground, if it came back, I knew I couldn't pick my arms up anymore. I had signed off, so to speak. That's why I started praying to God and telling everybody that I loved them. And I knew that someone could hear me to tell the family
praying out loud.
Yep. And next thing I know, it seemed like forever I heard, the only time I heard anything, I heard Trevor pleading for Craig to get to me.
Craig, you're on the other side. You hear about this. You know there's an attack going on now, and at some point, you know, bad hip or not, you got to do something.
When Brandon first got attacked, I mean, the screams were unbelievable. I mean, Tracy heard him, Alex heard him, Trevor heard him. I'll never forget that haunts me is his screams, because he was screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
Immediately, I crossed the river. So I was on my way to run for Brandon at that point.
Right.
And this is right away on the first
reminding our listeners, it's dark. It's not one of those full moon, half moon nights. It's dark. You've got your lamp with your flashlight or whatever, and you're going towards the noise.
It is. And it's, again, a beaver swamp, so it's boggy.
Yeah,
I was submerged multiple times.
And we talk about 40 or 50 yards. You know, anybody that's spent any time out in the field knows 40 or 50 yards in the trees in a swampy area can seem like a mile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not running down a path. You're not running down the street here. I mean, there's a lot of open line. I mean, you'd go a little right, you go a little left, and you could be running off in the middle of nowhere. So you're headed to the noise.
I was about 150
yards. Craig, don't mean to cut him off. The only thing that hasn't been really true is I believe I was 500 to 700 yards from the bait. Trevor can tell you, and Craig can tell you more, because they went there the next day. I did not. I've never been back there. But it wasn't. I was not 100 yards from the bait. This is a long ways.
We're at least 350 yards away from the bait. It took us 3 hours to walk Brandon out.
3 hours?
2 hours and 45 minutes once he got to his feet, after we got him conscious.
What do we know about the bear?
Where's the bear at
this point? We have no idea.
Okay, so you know the bear is taken off. Trevor, what do you know? I mean, where do you see the bear run off. Now you can get to your buddy. Now you can get to Brandon.
I actually didn't see the bear run off. Craig got there, so we continued to walk up to Bran. We didn't know if the bear was gone or not.
Right.
Because Bran wasn't saying nothing at that point, but when we got closer, he started saying our names.
Craig, I read in the story, what do you do for a living?
I'm a financial advisor, but I'm also with the Chisago City Fire Department.
Chisago City Fire Department. So I know that you said at some point in the story you've had extensive training and accident scenes, the things that fire departments respond to. And you talked about being out to accident victims out on Highway 8 and these sorts of things. So you have some experience with trauma, being on the scene of bodily injuries and this sort of thing, which sounds like that was a pretty good deal for Brandon. You get there, what do you see?
Well, I first met up with Trevor. We're about 50 yards away from Brandon, and again, his light had fallen off. It was illuminating into the trees. That's what gave us exactly where he was.
You saw his light.
As soon as I walked, Trevor and I walked up to him, I immediately bent over, and Brandon was unconscious. I felt for a pulse. I couldn't get a pulse. I handed Trevor the gun at this point, so Trevor was standing over the two of us. Blood was everywhere. I mean, it was in the trees. It was on the ground, and I had to literally wipe it out of pools out of his eyes. He was unconscious. I checked for dilation of his eyes. I could see that those were working. I slapped him a few times because he was unconscious. At that point, I told him I want him to breathe, and all of a sudden he breathed. We got him up. He kept saying his chest hurt, and the bear ripped his arms off. He said his palms are gone, and all we kept talking to him is, where else are you? Where else are you? You could physically see that his legs were hit. They were ripped up. He sat up. I'm again down on the ground, kind of had him cuddled in between my legs, and we tried to lean him up against a log in a tree, and he kept falling over. He just kept closing his eyes. I noticed that his left arm was really mangled bad. I mean, the blood was all over. He had a really expensive jacket on that protected some of his arm. I immediately took out my backpack, and I had some stuff to put a tourniquet on his left arm, and then I took a strap, and I wrapped it around his neck. And I put two slings around both of his arms, then put both of his hands into his pockets to mobilize him. Then I took a tie strap and wrapped it around his chest. And at this point, he's screaming. I mean, I know the girls could hear. We're near a half a mile away from where we were. But again, it's a beaver pond. It's like screaming on a lake.
Yeah.
Everybody can hear.
How did he get so far away when, you picked up the bear. It sounded like you were about 100 yards in. Where did that other 300 or 400 yards come from?
I think they just were pursuing the bear.
We were pursuing it, yeah, and we were trying. We thought we were circling it, and it was going towards Craig.
Okay,
but I think we got misguided by the noise and everything, and it was going.
That's right.
Away
we remember
from
in the story now that when you guys heard it, you were about 100 yards away, but you thought it was circling back around, and you wanted to get back into its trail to pick up the blood trail again.
Yep.
And at this point, you guys had put on some distance. All right,
yep.
Great. So now, thank God, Brandon, Craig's out here with some training,
yep,
and he's stabilizing you, doing a turn, and stopping the bleeding. I got to believe he would have probably bled to death out there if you weren't able to stop that bleeding, because you said it took 3 hours to get him back to, I guess, the camp or the cabin?
Back to the four-wheelers and back to where a truck picked him up and then from a truck to an ambulance.
I mean, what is that 3 hours like? What the hell is going on for 3 hours with him? I mean,
We first got Brandon.
And you still don't know where this bear is at.
No, that wasn't even a consideration.
It was a consideration. I kept saying it. Where's the bear?
He kept saying, I got it too. I know it's dead.
Trev, at this point, you've got Craig's firearm. Is it a sidearm?
Right. Yeah. 45 Glock.
Gotcha.
And at one point, I knew that Brandon was going to be dead within 10 minutes. I had yelled back to the girls 911.
Yeah.
So Alex had to get on a four-wheeler and ride about 3 miles to a cabin, knock on its door, wake them up, and this is about 3:20 in the morning. So it took us till 5:45 before we got out of the woods. So at this point, we tried to...
Are you walking?
No, we're sitting him up now because I don't think he's going to make it. And
right.
Trevor, I said, Trevor, you got to go back and get help. At this point, I knew that he was going to die in my arms.
Yeah.
And I sat with him with his head against my chest. And Trevor took off. All of a sudden, Brandon said, I think I can stand. And when he said that, it just became game on.
Right.
Trevor came back. Trevor is a bigger guy, so he picked him up by his belt. I picked him up by his hair and his chin because Brandon couldn't touch his front of his chest at all. And at that point, we slowly walked out. And again, now we're trying to just find the shortest path. The girls took a flashlight into the stand so we knew where we were going, pointed that towards our direction. And Brandon must have fell at least 100 times. I think at least 3 or 4 times, Trevor and I looked at each other knowing that Brandon was dead because he fell forward and he wouldn't breathe. And we kept screaming at him to breathe. He would take a breath, and I knew that if his chest was working, we could keep going on. And we just slowly walked our way out of there. And before you know it, we had to cross that river again. And this isn't where it's got a nice pathway walking up that river. It's straight down.
Down the bank. Yeah, it's a beaver dam. So got a few feet down the side of the bank.
Right, and that's where we were submerged. We both fell in, Trevor and I, but Brandon never did. But he would fall into the woods or into the swamp, but not into the water.
The only reason I continued at the end is because Craig told Tracy to yell and tell me that she was there for me, and it was like that I had just started walking. I had plenty of energy after I heard Tracy's voice telling me she was right there.
At this point, so you guys finally get him across the creek, and now what?
Now we get him to the four-wheeler, and at this point I'm yelling up for the girls to get a four-wheeler backed up so we can, you know, try to load them on.
Okay.
We could also hear an ambulance off in the distance, and we kept telling Brandon we're really close. He had a sense of humor because at one point we would say, we're almost there. We only got 40 more yards. And he goes, you guys are lying to me, because he could see the light going. That is so far away. And it was.
So this probably, I mean, at this point, he might not be in shock. I mean, if he's responding, Brandon, do you remember this part? Do you remember talking with these guys and talking to them like this?
Taking sticks that were pretty big in the face and going, that was a good one.
he would, because we're breaking trail.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm sorry.
Jesus, go ahead, Craig. Lord.
We're talking with, we've got our guest here, Brandon Johnson, Brandon. Trevor Nowak, Craig Lindstrom, are bringing Brandon out now after this bear fight attack.
440-pound
440-pound bear? Is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Dressed.
So it was a 525, yeah.
Five.
440 dressed bear. You guys still don't know where the bear is. At this point, you don't really care. It's get Brandon out of there and keep him alive. So you've crossed over. Tracy and Alex have gone and brought a four-wheeler over back to you guys to load him onto that. Tracy, can you come up to the microphone? I don't know if you can share that with Brandon right there. How you doing, Trace?
I'm good.
And you guys trusted a woman driver to take... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Back it up, no less.
That was Alex.
It's the only chance we had.
Good Lord, what if she had run over him? Wouldn't that have been him? Well, you got to laugh a little, don't you, Trace?
Yeah.
Tracy, so there's a lot of adrenaline going on. You've been listening to the attack. Now you're involved in backing it up, but you haven't seen him yet. When did you first see him? Tell us about that.
Finally, when they got across the beaver swamp, he came up behind the bait. Full of blood. I didn't know if it was bear's blood, his blood, what was going on. And he just fell to the ground, and I got down right next to him and just kept saying, I love you. We're getting you out of here.
Yep.
Can you hear the ambulance? And, yep.
So I suppose, yeah, you're just in kind of go mode there, too. Like, talk to him, keep him alert,
yep.
You know, stay with him,
yep.
Let him know that you're there.
He was shaking and freezing. I put my coat around him. And
yeah. Craig, you get him loaded up on the four-wheeler.
Yeah,
now
he,
where
was,
you
he was now going into shock and hypothermia just because everything that was going on. And
right, this is a three-hour process, by the way, if our listeners don't remember, by the time you guys got to him to get him.
By the time the attack started, the time he got out.
Okay, three hours now.
And he's in, and so.
It's getting to be morning, and back in September, it's probably getting light now, isn't it?
About not five, quite. Nope.
5 o'clock.
It's about 5:30 in the morning at
all
this
right.
point. We got the four-wheeler. We got quite a trail to hit. Trevor got on the four-wheeler, and Brandon. We loaded up Brandon behind Trevor. So as Trevor's going to drive out, Duxbury had shown up. They had walked out there. I believe there were four guys from Duxbury Fire Department that had walked out. Nobody from the ambulance could make it out to where we were because they couldn't get anywhere near where we were. So two guys walked behind Brandon on foot and kind of guided him out so he wouldn't fall off the four-wheeler. We went about probably a mile and a half, 2 miles, got him on a backboard in a truck, from the truck to the ambulance. From the ambulance, they stabilized him at this point, started cutting all his clothes off, and he's still very
cause that
brand
real nice,
new jacket.
Real brand new jacket,
okay,
yeah.
Those things are expensive.
But again, his priorities were intact because he kept saying, pull my boots off. So
don't cut off.
They weren't harmed. He still has his boots, but that's what all he's got left. So.
Good grief. And then you got him to the hospital, and now tell us
about... There was a helicopter involved, too, because
okay.
that's when we were at the scene, I kept asking, you know, where's the helicopter going to land?
Oh, I was going to ask you where was the nearest hospital, but where did the helicopter come into the process? How far so you got him in the ambulance. Did they bring the helicopter in?
The helicopter was standby in Duxbury.
Yeah.
So it took us about 45 minutes from the time we got him on the four-wheeler to the time he got... to the ambulance and stabilized. So the helicopter was waiting at Duxbury Store, about 7 miles away from where the bear bait was.
We'll hear the rest of Brandon's story when we come back with the best of Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back to the best of Ticket Outdoors. Here's the conclusion of Brandon Johnson versus the bear.
Okay, so I've got about 5,000 questions in my head right now. So you're able to get him to the hospital. Where do we go from here? Well, let's continue on to the hospital. Which hospital did they end
North
up taking?
North Memorial.
So they get him to North Memorial, and now do we think we're out of the woods yet? Now he's going to be okay. He's going to make it. Do we know at this point?
I got to say something here. The first time I saw Brandon was about 9:30 in the morning. He probably made it to the hospital about 7:30. The first thing he said is, "Did you get the bear? Did you know I got the bear? I got the bear." That's all he wanted to talk about.
And that's what keeps going through my head when I was sitting there asking about. Before we get Brandon, you know, we get to the happy place, Brandon's going to be okay. I keep thinking, what about the damn bear?
Where's the bear? And it, like that survival instinct, it seems like, Brandon, you went three rounds with a 530-pound bear.
That's insane. I mean, so Tracy, I assume you go to the hospital with him. It's a helicopter. We know that they don't chopper everybody. Only Brandon can go. You can't get in.
Only he can go.
Okay. I know those things are pretty limited. I don't know if they do take one person along, but you couldn't go.
No.
So at this point, do you all head to the hospital or somebody doubling back to check on the bear? Because it's got to be getting late about now.
We left about 5:45 in the morning, and then we all got in two different vehicles and drove down to meet him at the hospital.
Okay, all right. So you get down to the hospital. Brandon, talk to us about that. Do you remember getting to the hospital?
Did you ever lose consciousness?
Yeah, I believe a few times, but one time was in the helicopter, but I...
Well, you're afraid of heights.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid of heights. I'm a roofer. When I saw him, probably the scariest part of the whole night is when I saw one of the doctors or whatever you call it in the helicopter, when I saw him with a drill in his hand.
Oh, shoot.
And I didn't know what exactly that was till I felt him drilling in my shin underneath my knee.
Hey, what about the anesthetic here, fellas?
Wow.
Good grief.
And I didn't quite understand. I thought I was in one of those horror movies. And
yeah,
I was.
Saw.
That's the only place they could find that there wasn't trauma to put a IV needle in, is they put it right into the center of your shin bone.
Now that, you're cringing, Stu. Yeah. Now you're cringing.
Oh, man.
Tell us about your injuries.
I had three surgeries on my left arm, just one on my right. I have another smaller surgery on Monday that my left arm won't rotate, so they call it manipulating my arm so that it rotates while I'm not awake. They've got to flip my arm right side up, or I don't know what you call it, palm up. The rest of the wounds have healed nicely. I don't have much movement in my fingers in my left hand, and I'm getting more movement in my right hand. My right hand's definitely the better, and I'm glad because I'm right-handed, so that I was worried about that, but I was glad that it was my right hand that was the best. I haven't really slept in quite some time, but you know, that'll come with time, I guess. It's just something to complain about.
Bitch.
Are you talking about, is it probably a little of both, the pain and or when you close your eyes and try and sleep? I gotta believe it takes you right back to the middle of that swamp.
Well, while I was in the hospital for that week, towards the end, PTSD lady came in, or their psychologist, I don't know what you call it.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
And she came in and said, "Have you experienced that?" And I said, "Well, what is that?" And then she explained it to me. Well, and sure enough, that was the first night I fell asleep, because they don't let you sleep at the hospital. And I passed out, and a bear was eating me again. And I hadn't thought about it once till she came into my room that day, and I'm not mad at her.
Thanks for reminding me.
Wow.
Well, you know what? If it wasn't for women, we wouldn't remember anything, would we?
Hey, I'll tell you what.
They remember for us.
There's a couple of times, if you listen to the show at all, you understand that we're not the most religious guys in the world here.
Well.
But you mentioned God a couple of times. Even Zepper talked about God. But think of this, you know, what you're going through is extremely traumatic. It's been very, very terrible. It's going to be a life-changing experience, no doubt about it. But if by chance Trevor didn't give you that knife, that's one thing. If you didn't take the knife and put it in your hand and just pretend like, okay, if this thing comes after me, what do I do? That's another thing. And if Craig was not there, that's another thing. That's three things that happened that God's got to be involved somehow, right?
Yeah, and you know what's amazing? For our listeners tuning in right now, we have Brandon Johnson, the young man from Wyoming, Minnesota, that was bear hunting with his friends, Trevor and Chris and Alex and Tracy, or the ladies, yeah, in Sandstone. And they were tracking a bear at night, and Brandon went three rounds with the bear and just about a 6-inch knife with barely a gut hook. I can't even imagine, Brandon, when that bear hits you, and the part of the story where you say it's the third time and he opens the mouth, and it's like a movie. You know, you see the movies where the kid with the spear or whatever hits it when the mouth is open, like the one spot.
I'm hearing when he's, you know, grabbing his left arm with his right arm to get it up, to get it back in the bear's mouth so he can continue the attack.
Can't imagine shoving your right. I mean, so you took your right hand and then just took the knife and just shoved it inside its mouth?
Yes, I did. And I had the skin was from each tooth hit each finger, and it was scraped up each finger from going inside of its mouth.
Let's double on back here. We're just going to continue on. We'll take this break, and then we'll talk to the other guys. Boy, Chris Keeler is sitting over there in Studio C now going, oh, I'm on next? Great. I've got a wonderful story for you about a busted firing pin on a 12-gauge today.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go to the next step, let's talk about how we can help you out financially. Talk about the fundraiser. This is very, very important.
Well, let's just double back to the bear, and then we'll finish up with all that.
All right.
Yep.
So now, Trevor, Craig, Trace, Alex, he's going to be okay. You've got him in the hospital. Everything's going okay. Now, what about this damn bear? Trev?
Well, the first thing when I saw him is that you're going to go get the bear, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm like, well, I wanted to see you first.
Right. You
know? So after we got some and, you know, he was going in for surgery, we all left. And first thing we did was get on the phone, get more people to help us because we know it wasn't going to be a fun track and everything.
Yeah.
So we got, I don't know how many it was, 10 of us?
Yeah.
10 of us to go out there, and we had a hard time finding where we left or where we found Brandon, so we had to scan the woods, and we finally found a rope that Craig left behind, and that's right where we found him.
What's that scene look like in daylight?
It was pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
Like we could tell that
there was a big tangle there.
Yeah.
So how far away was the bear when you found him?
50, 60 yards.
Yeah.
It was not far.
Yeah.
Was he laying? I can only imagine after what you went through, Zep. And
I didn't go through much at all. It's been a long interview. I'm standing. Is that what you're asking about? My left knee's bothering me a little bit.
But you went back out there, Trevor, and
yeah, you're not hunting a trophy bear at this point. You're not trying to find your trophy kill. This is going through your mind too. It's got to take you right back out there in the dark. You're hearing the screams. I mean, you have a very different perspective, obviously, than Brandon had, but a pretty terrifying one nonetheless.
I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah,
there, but I knew I had plenty of people there.
Sure.
Which made me feel safer.
Did you know the bear was that big? You guys said you had trail cammed it before. Obviously, you shot the bear and got a good shot on the bear. So, obviously, you got a pretty good look at this boar. Did you realize how big he was?
If he says he did, he's lying.
We knew it roughly.
I asked over and over,
how big
is it? And he says, all I'm going to say is it's nice. That doesn't work.
It's a nice one.
We didn't want to guess wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
We knew it was big when we shot.
Yeah.
No one said big. Nice is different than
there
big.
There you go. Yes, it is. Yeah.
I said it was the biggest one I've ever shot.
Yeah, I've shot a lot of nice buck, but not a big one. So you found the bear. You got the big old bear. And now, where's he at right now?
He is getting mounted.
Yeah, of course he is.
Getting mounted at Woods and Water.
Are you guys doing a body mount? Are you doing the mount or the rug or the, what are you doing?
Head mount? Full body.
Full body mount. No kidding. Yeah, that's Trevor.
Well,
that's
we got to see this thing, don't we? We've got to see this.
The photographs, and a lot of them have been published. And Brandon, you were talking about, you know, by the way, all the media that came out to see you. I know there were a lot of TV stations. Some of them popped in at your mom and dad's place where you don't live. So, I mean, thank you so much for coming down here to our little radio show and telling this story. Craig, you've had some experience with trauma, with injuries, with being on these accident scenes. Let me guess, you've never seen anything like this before in your life.
You know, seeing car accidents and people that might be deceased in the car is one thing. But you just kind of go in automoto.
Yeah.
You just automatically do something. But when it's your friend.
Yeah.
And you heard him crying out. I believed that when I got to him, he was going to be dead.
Well, there's no doubt if you and Trevor had not been out there, he'd be dead. Right. He wouldn't have got himself out of there and he would have bled out.
Yeah, there's no question.
Wow. Sir, you know, I used a hunting term there. I apologize for that. That was a little callous.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, now let's talk about the medical bills and all that good jazz. Drew, you have some information.
One more thing quick.
Yeah.
You know, you said, you know, it was important to me to find that that bear was dead. Did you find the bear? You know, where's the bear? Well, when I came out of surgery that first night, Tracy was there. And what's the first thing I said?
So they're getting him situated in his room. And all the family and I are outside the hall, and he's, somebody get in here. Is that bear dead? Please tell me, is the bear dead?
You know, I can completely understand that at that point. I mean, because, I mean, you're literally in a fight for your life. And, you know, I guess in, you know, some sort of cosmic way, as we hunters, you know, connect with nature, you're both kind of in a fight for your life. Now the bear could have run off and, you know, and had that opportunity, but you're both, we're really sitting there, toe-to-toe, trying to kill each other, I guess, is just that one way to put it. And, I mean, it doesn't get any more man versus nature than that. It's just such an incredible story. I mean, do we have any more questions?
Well,
I mean,
you guys, what you've gone through physically is something that we'll never experience.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah, and emotionally, and it's gonna be something that's with you the rest of your lives. How can we help? And financially, it's going to be a big, big deal. You're self-employed. Hopefully you got insurance to take care of some of the medical things, but you're not bringing any money in as far as job is concerned. And you know, Tracy's not doing any pole dancing anymore, so you got to bring in some money, right? So tell us.
It's true.
I don't have to pay for it anyway.
He doesn't pay for that pole dancing. Yeah. You mentioned some kind of a fundraiser that's going to be coming up, I think, January 17th. How can we help?
Yeah.
How you can help is we set up a website where we're keeping people updated with the fundraiser. We're having a fundraiser that's going to be at Stacy Lent Township on January 17th. We're going to probably open the doors at 5 o'clock for dinner. We're going to have a lot of ammunition. We're going to have purses. We're going to have a lot of raffles. We'll have a silent auction. We'll have a live auction. That'll be one way to raise money. The other is that we set up a website, www.bbbfundraiser.com. And that's boyboyboyfundraiser.com. That'll bring you right to a link of his page and where people can make a monetary contribution.
You know, we'll get all those sites up. I'll put them up on all my social media. I might even know another radio station this might get mentioned.
I think
you
might help us out.
And we're certainly going to be talking about that benefit plenty between now and January 17th to get a bunch of folks up there to support the cause and you know, to meet you. This isn't the last time you're telling this story. I don't know when you're going to get completely sick of it, but maybe it'll get a little less emotional for you as you go through it. You're going to be telling it for a long time, but it's, I really had no idea reading the story what we were all in for. I mean, there were a couple of times there where I was just, my fingertips are tingling.
My palms were sweating a little bit.
Absolutely.
Now, are you guys still hunting? Are you still bear hunting?
Well,
what's going on here?
That's got to be the next question, right? To Brandon. You've already been asked. You've already thought about it.
If I could have already been out there, but I haven't been able to.
You know he's going back out there. Tracy, what do you think of that?
Yeah. We have too much fun not to go back out
there. All right. Well, that's that puts a new twist on a getting back in the saddle, I guess. Brandon Johnson, Trevor Nowak, Craig Lindstrom. Tracy, your last name again, please.
Hoffman.
Alex? Hoyt. Good Lord, I should have written that down. Thank you so much for coming down. Brandon, you have something else?
Can I give a shout-out to my kids back home?
You bet you can.
My son, Hunter, my daughter, Morgan, Tracy's daughter, Taylor, and her son, Gabe.
Boy, how'd you like... That's your dad. Gang, thank you so much for coming down here. And Brandon, thank you for sharing your story. Emotional, compelling. Take it outdoors.